Live from the Jukebox Junction Cafe here in Bethel, North Carolina, it's the Brett Chapel Show, along with head coach Brett Chapel. This is Chad Upton. Last night, Pisgah, golly, what a great win for the program, taking care of Brevard and finding a way to get it done, obviously. There was a lot on the line there and continues to be, and there's going to be some things that we'll find out later today or perhaps even tomorrow morning, but I think probably later today in terms of playoff seasons and so forth. But, we talked about this couple of weeks ago that after that Hendersonville win, about being able to control your destiny again in terms of a conference championship. We found a way to get it done last night, Coach, and I know you're tickled for everybody associated with the program.
Oh, man. I mean, you look at all of the time and effort that gets put into a season. I mean, you're talking about all the way back in January, getting started after last year's team got finished up, and you get to that last week of the season and still been able to have everything on the line.
Yeah.
You did it on Thursday night with your JVs. You turned around and did it on Friday night with your varsity. And, that's a true testament to our kids, being able to put in the work and the effort to get us to that point and to have everything sitting there riding on the last game of the regular season in November, cold night. What a great feeling it was to be able to enjoy that at home. We've been at Brevard the last few years when we've had this opportunity, and it was nice to be in Canton last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Go back and think about everything that we saw last night. Really, it started up with both defenses being really, really strong. We saw a number of three and outs to start off with last night, and not a lot of scoring. And I'm sure that's probably something that we might would have expected last night, again, with two really, really solid defenses. And as you said earlier, before we got going here, our conference has some really good defenses, and it's really changed the landscape a little bit for us in the last year or so.
Our conference is so much different. I mean, you look at the MAC, the 3A, and it's such a high-scoring conference over there, and then obviously look at the Western Highlands, and it's top heavy and got some really good teams in there. Obviously we've seen Mountain Heritage and how good their defense is, and then you go into the Smoky Mountain Conference, and you got the Robbinsville and Murphy and Swain, and but our conference has just got some really stout defenses and a lot of ball control, a lot of running the ball, and we knew going into this game that one possession, one big play could win the ball game. We just felt like it was going to be that close, low scoring, and it was every bit of it.
And going back to that, you talk about turnovers, and we do that every single week, but you talk about turnovers. A lot of times we just think about the offense giving up the football, but we don't always talk about defense creating turnovers, and your team created five turnovers last night, four of them on fumbles. We were able to recover each one of them, and that's about making good decisions out there too and being opportunistic. You had a situation where we got the quarterback loose a little bit. He got down inside the five, and we put a hat on it, swatted at it, put a hat on it to create those turnovers, and that really ended up being a difference maker too for us in creating those turnovers.
I think it comes back to the coaching. It comes back to the kids' mentality, and I think you saw that firsthand last night if you were in the stadium or listened to it on the radio. Our kids would not give up. I mean, the run that you're talking about with the quarterback, we missed probably two or three tackles as the kid's going down through there. Keegan swats at it. I thought he knocked it out. Yeah. Turns out I looked at it this morning, and, Devin was the one that knocked it out. It was – you just had kids that were just bound and determined to not let it happen. And, it's a great feeling. You got so many different statistics you can look at. But the one thing that I have as a coach, you got to sit back and watch the last few weeks. We have had so many kids make tremendous plays to help us win a ball game. It's not just being one kid carrying the ball 40 times a game, and that's what won. It's not been that. I mean, I'm going to go over this morning, and I'll probably be a little long-winded, but I went back and watched every play of the film last night just to see all the plays that were made. And, I mean, we've got, I'm looking at this morning at 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 different kids on just the defensive side of the ball that made tremendous plays at some point. And then you look at offensively, I mean, you got to give credit to our whole front offensive line, because I'm going to tell you, number 55 for them, KK Jenkins, will probably be the lineman of the year in our conference, and is just a dominant force. And we emphasized him to our front all week. The kid had two tackles last night.
Yeah.
I mean, our offensive front took control of that game. I know it didn't look like it on the front end, and we had some three and outs, but we minimized how many times he was around the ball, and then we started finding a way to get our guys out into the open field. And when we did that, you know, we started making some big gains, and, you know, we just didn't give up.
Yeah.
And that comes back to the coaching, too. You know, our coaches didn't give up. They were continuing to try to dig and find a way, and when you have nights like that against really good competition, I mean, you look at what Brevard did last year in the playoffs after we beat them, you know, went all the way to the semifinals, graduated a good bunch of kids, came back, probably the best defense we've seen all year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Coach Pritz has done a great job there. His staff has, their kids have bought in. But, you know, you get a good win like that, a quality win against a good opponent like that at home with everything riding on the line. I tell you, I had a hard time going to sleep last night.
Yeah.
I stayed up most of the night and, you know, just tried to soak that one in.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
As part of Duke LifePoint Healthcare, Haywood Regional Medical Center is supported by Duke University Health System's world-renowned leadership in clinical excellence and quality care, and LifePoint Health's extensive resources, knowledge, and experience in operating community hospitals. Haywood Regional Medical Center offers a wide range of services, including orthopedics, spine services, general, interventional cardiology, women's care, sleep lab, imaging, pediatrics, and GI center. For more information, please call 800-424-DOCS or visit myhaywoodregional.com.
Back to this, and we'll spend some more time on that in just a little bit in terms of defense. But I wanted to go back and just talk a little bit about, you know, at the start there. We obviously, you know, ran into a bit of a wall there, felt like it, you know, to get things going. They were able to score early, able to shut them down after that point. I mean, they had that single score early, and then we went, what, 3.5 quarters without giving up any points at all. And again, against this team that has scored some points, obviously has a lot of dynamic things about them, and we've just spent some time talking about the turnovers. But being able to establish what you wanted to do took a little bit of time maybe for that to get traction, but to establish a little bit with what you wanted to do offensively last night. You know, we started out, and it was something to see. It was fun to watch, to see our kids back in a wishbone set. And, you know, we ran plays out of that. We'd break out of that sometimes and go back out and spread it out some, and then mix back in, I think, some of our traditional offense. But you kept tweaking and working until, as you said earlier, until you were able to find some things that created some space for our guys. And once they got loosened up, then it felt like we were able to do a whole lot of things that were a little tougher maybe in the first quarter. But we loosened them up a little bit. I thought Eric, you know, had a great night again too. And his vision, Coach, is just so tremendous. His ability to sort of see those lanes open up before they open up and be able to pick his way before he's able to get gone is you know, something special from a back. And it really makes a big difference in what you were able to do last night, I think, too, being able to, again, get a lot of people involved as the game wore on.
You know, we felt like when we watched film on these guys, we had to make some changes up front to try to help us out with taking care of Jenkins because he was so disruptive in the backfield, and it caused us to have to change some things. We spent a lot of time on our Sunday night when we had our meetings trying to figure out what would give us the best opportunity. We felt like we had to try to keep them off balance, try to keep them guessing a little bit. Even though we didn't have as much success those first couple of drives, I think it created some confusion for them too in trying to get lined up, trying to see where we were at and how we were doing things. And then, again, you know, our guys just kept plugging at them, trying to find ways to get it loose. You know, Eric had a great night. You know, obviously had 95 yards, had the long touchdown run. Shalladay had 51 yards. He was tremendous for us. Corey, 50 yards, you know, and touchdown. But the one thing that, you know, that I hadn't mentioned yet, our blocking out wide at mm-hmm. our receivers mm-hmm. was phenomenal. You go back and watch Eric's touchdown. And we've got kids, Devin and Dodge, and Keegan Hudson was blocking all the way down to the 5-yard line. But Devin's block set it up. I mean, he really had to dig a kid out. And golly, Bum just did a great job on it. Ryan was on the backside blocking. I mean, it was, again, when you see your kids put forth that much effort, into trying to do it the right way and to try to get the job done and to be able to come out and, you know, with a win is huge. We had 12 first downs last night. I'll tell you about a little bit of the stats. We had 12 first downs. They had 13. We had 212 yards rushing. They had 172 yards rushing. We had 22 minutes of total of time of possession. They had 20 minutes.
Right.
But you've already touched on it, and everybody saw it last night. We had no turnovers,
right,
which was huge for us. Obviously, they had the fumbles, and Lane got the interception there at the end. Our special teams, Carlos was good on the kickoffs for us last night. We brought him in to do some pooch kicking. We recovered one. Ryan had a 58-yard
yes.
punt that was tremendous, got us out of the hole. Big hits on our kickoff teams continuing to happen. Levi Medford, how huge was the fair catch on their little short kick, you know,
right.
To be
right.
able to smart enough to throw that hand up there so they don't touch him and just catch the ball. I mean, it's just the little things like that and things that people don't understand, things that we actually work on. And that was just tremendous to see out of that side of the ball as well.
This group, is, as far as getting it, and that's what you're talking about, this group as far as getting it and taking those things from the practice field to you know, situational opportunity. And you may not necessarily always get the opportunity to remind the kid of those kinds of things, but again, as you said, for them to be able to execute means that they're paying attention to practice and they do get it. Is this group special that way?
It is, and I think a lot comes down to it's not just one player. I mean, we're not just relying on one player to make a play. You just got so many kids that are involved. You know, you start on the defensive side for us, and I mentioned it earlier, and I'm going to go down this list, and I know it may take just a second, but I went back and, like I said, watched all these plays. Jackson Gerald had 5 tackles, 1 caused fumble. Lane Meese had 5 tackles. Tucker Lokerson had 4 tackles. Shadow Day had 4 tackles and a fumble recovery. Warner had 2 sacks back-to-back that were huge. Kane Early had a caused fumble. Keegan had a fumble recovery and 2 caused fumbles. I mean, he was all over the place. Lucas Whitted got the fumble recovery on the kickoff that we had. Caleb Bradford had a huge sack and a fumble recovery.
Yeah.
Bryson Davis caused a fumble. I mean, man, it seemed like everybody on that defensive side of the ball was huge. Devin was the one that caused the fumble down there on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Shadow Day flies in and is able to get it. I mean, it was just the kids were relentless last night. And, you know, we weren't perfect by any means, but from a coaching standpoint, man, our kids' effort. The seniors did not want to go out like that. And what a way, you know, great way to win a ball game.
Were you able to, or did you make any significant adjustments at halftime? Because it felt like that, again, we were beginning to loosen them up in that second quarter.
We were. We found a few things there offensively right before halftime that we felt comfortable in. We were starting to get that edge a little bit on some of our sweeps. Blocking was, again, tremendous out wide, which was helping us. And surprisingly enough, we were starting to get up inside a little bit in between the tackles, which we weren't sure we were going to be able to do. But we were having to do some motions and things like that to do that. And, I mean, it's just like Corey's touchdown out of the wishbone.
Yeah.
I mean, we're running beer. We ain't run that all year long.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
And kid does a tremendous job reading it, gets in the end zone. He has one down on our end zone next to the pool where he pitches it to Ryan. And if Ryan doesn't
Ryan may
be still running.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just it's the little things.
Yeah.
And that's what is neat to see about these kids, because you just don't really know which kid's going to have a great game.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's always somebody new.
Yeah. Back with more in a moment. It's Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
As a community, some of the best times happen when we come together under the Friday night lights. But it's not just about the game. It's about watching our kids play their hearts out. Pardee UNC Healthcare and Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics support student athletes in the training room and on the field by providing medical services to 22 schools throughout the region. We're honored to be entrusted with the health and wellness of those who mean the most to your heart. To learn more, visit PardeeHospital.org. Fall is in the air, and now is the time to get your lawn in shape. Come into Hometown Hardware for our fall specials and meet the power equipment team in Canton for sales and service. We carry a complete line of mowers, including Gravely and Toro zero-turn models. Hometown Hardware. You want it? We've got it. Your big box alternative.
obviously, you know, a part of that's the conference championship, and you just talked about this, about that group of seniors that when you talk about and look back a little bit, and we'll spend some more time doing this, I'm sure, but when you go back and look at what they've accomplished in their time in 4 years, both in terms of what they did as JVs all the way through the varsity, this is another group that has had tremendous success and has grown each and every year that we've had them part of the program. So, again, you know, that's got to be something that I know that you're very proud of, too, is this group of seniors that, as you said, were not ready for it to be over last night.
You know, I had a chance to go back, and I keep up with the records of these teams and seeing what they've accomplished, and we always put out a sheet when we start in January, and we list what these kids have accomplished so far and what the outlook is for the upcoming season. And these kids, up to this game last night, you know, including it, are 36-6 in their 4 years. They won a conference championship as JVs as sophomores. They won one as a junior on the varsity. Now they've won one as a senior on the varsity. Mm. It's tremendous, tremendous when you look at it. Three out of the last 4 years, our varsity's won a conference championship. That hasn't been done since the early 1990s with Coach Wright and Coach Renaud.
Yeah.
Three in a row for the JVs. We don't think that's ever been done.
Mm.
And it just, I'm so proud of where our program is at. Our kids that are coming from Canton Middle School and Bethel Middle School, those expectations are set before they get here.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get here, they understand how important it is for the success of this program. And we look at it as a whole. It's not just a JV and a varsity. It's one group. And you are starting to see the dividends of us putting the importance on the whole program as these kids come through. And these seniors are a great example of that and the success that they've had.
I want to ask a couple of things about some specific things that we saw last night. First of all, what did you see and what were you told with regard to fourth down spot that went from a fourth and a yard and a half to a fourth and 3 inches? I understand that there's, you know, two sets of spots a lot of times, and they're supposed to get together and get them right, but it seems odd to me that there's two spots that could be that far apart, and if at the end so much movement of the football. What was the explanation on that?
You know, the ball was on the far hash, you know, away from us. The runner's knee came down, looked to be about a yard and a half short of the first down. The lines judge on our side took off running, and he marked it. He was tapping his knee as he was coming in. He marked it where the kid's knee went down. The official on the far side, which had the shorter field, marked it to where he saw the ball finish. He was hid from where the kid's knee went down. And, you know, after I was talking to the white hat, you know, he explained to me, and I knew this already, he had to go with who was closest to the play on that side. Even though we had a clear shot of it, and our official on our side did as well, you know, he had to go back. You know, this guy had the closer view. You know, we're probably going to have to go with him. And it was a huge play because it was a difference of a yard and a half. And I went back and watched it on film last night, and, you know, where the kid's knee went down was a good yard and a half short. Now, you go, you know, you kind of fast forward to the next couple of plays, and obviously we have a big sack with Caleb Bradford in there, and of course we have the fumble with the quarterback, but you know, those are judgment calls. You know, obviously I argued the case a little bit. I kind of knew what the answer was anyways, but you know, it was unfortunate, but that happens. You know, that those are things that happens. At least they got together and grouped up and at least had a conversation about it, but you know, we ended up losing that one. But at the end of the day, you know, we were still able to get a win.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Haywood Regional Medical Center is committed to providing the highest quality care possible, along with the expertise and leading-edge technology you expect at larger hospitals, all conveniently close to home. As part of Duke LifePoint Healthcare, Haywood Regional Medical Center is supported by Duke University Health System's world-renowned leadership in clinical excellence and quality care, and LifePoint Health's extensive resources, knowledge, and experience in operating community hospital. Visit myhaywoodregional.com to learn more.
back live here at the Jukebox Junction, the Brad Chappell Show. So now the wedding game comes up, and we've got to, you know, kind of see how everything shakes out. You got ADM numbers. I guess it was last week, if I remember correctly. So you know a little bit more, but this is sort of a complex, you know, situation for us. Obviously, the three-way tie, and you know, for a conference championship, we also are pretty confident that all three teams won't be in the same subdivision. So we'll see how that shakes out. But you got to feel pretty good about where things stand and how that will shake out. What will your day like? What will your day be like today? You know, trying to keep up with that, and then what do you do next as far as getting with those people and, you know, having the exchange of the film and all those kinds of, I guess through Huddle it's easier, but than it used to be. But you got to look. There's some things are going to have to happen a little bit different today than, you know, any other game week, I guess.
They do, you know, and the thing is, you can't get too caught up too early, because they'll come out with a preliminary bracket and they'll give the coaches a chance to see what it looks like, and if there's some discrepancy on a record or how something's seated, you have time to argue that case and move on. I mean, we saw Smoky Mountain's a great example. Those guys thought they had a, you know, for their kids thought they had a home playoff game last year and were seated, you know, down in the little. And then all of a sudden they get bumped up to the big and they're traveling, you know. So you have situations like that, because they're just not sure exactly how many qualify and where that cut line is. You know, a great example of that this year is don't know where Shelby's going to fall. You know, Shelby's the number one overall seed. It don't matter if it's big or little. You know, we know that right up front. But their numbers are lower than what they were last year. You know, there's some preliminary brackets, just people guessing that think Shelby may be small. They think that line's going to drop lower and Shelby may still be big. So, you know, there's still a lot left that they're looking at this morning. We've had a couple of teams that have been disqualified.
Yeah, I heard that last night. Anson was one of them.
Anson was one of them. Forest Hills.
Why is that happening? What is going on with those situations?
You know, they had some situation with Anson in Richmond County.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
is that right?
Had a game earlier in the year and had some ejections that took place.
Oh, gotcha.
And, you know, I don't know if they just got turned in that late or what happened, but that came out a little bit earlier this week, and they were a playoff team. As a matter of fact, they were a team we almost picked up in that open date where we had the team out of Atlanta.
Yeah,
I had some conversations with their coach, and we just couldn't make it work the way we wanted to, and they were a very strong team coming out of that. They beat Cuthbertson, which is a high seed in the 3A earlier in the year. So, you know, don't know all of the details on those, but situations like that. I mean, Anson was going to be a small, so now that's one less small you got. So, you know, there are a lot of things that go into it. Can't get too caught up too early, but, you know, you were mentioning about the day. Once we get the finalized brackets, which usually are later this evening, sometimes on up into the night, we'll get with the other coach of the teams that we play, and we'll trade some film and try to get some logistics worked out about travel and all of those things if we happen to be on the road. And our coaching staff will meet Sunday evening. We'll meet tomorrow and get a chance to break down some film and get practice and stuff ready. Excited about getting started again. We brought up some JVs from the team on Thursday night. Got about 17 sophomores we're bringing up. Excited about bringing those kids. They've certainly put in the time as well and have given us great looks. That was one thing that I haven't mentioned. We scrimmaged really heavy between those two teams, our JVs and varsity, against each other for the last 2 weeks. And really think that has helped both teams as they went into those Thursday and Friday night games.
And, again, those Milltown uniforms shone pretty good last night, too. Haven't lost a game in those things yet, right?
Well, we actually did against East Lincoln last year.
That's right.
We
that's
had
right.
them on then, so it was nice to break.
Yes, it was.
Nice to break the curse for them. We got to break out the Milltowns for the JVs on Thursday. So to win a conference championship in the Camo Milltowns and then turn around and do it in the Adidas Milltowns, you know, I'm proud of where we're at.
Absolutely. Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
As a community, some of the best times happen when we come together under the Friday night lights. But it's not just about the game. It's about watching our kids play their hearts out. Pardee UNC Healthcare and Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics support student athletes in the training room and on the field by providing medical services to 22 schools throughout the region. We're honored to be entrusted with the health and wellness of those who mean the most to your heart. To learn more, visit PardeeHospital.org. Mathers & Smathers, attorneys at law, are proud sponsors of the Pisgah Black Bears. Pat and Zeb Smathers offer full legal services, including civil litigation, personal injury, domestic and criminal representation, as well as wills, estate planning, and real estate. Serving you from 118 Main Street in downtown Canton. Smathers & Smathers, attorneys at law. Call 648-8240.
Back live here at the Brett Chappell Show again. Going into this week, a lot of things going on, and getting ready for the playoffs. But again, you've got to be proud about where things stand, and you've seen a lot of things now. This is after your seventh year as head coach here, and with the success. What are your thoughts around the growth of this program, and what you sort of see vision wise? You know, in the next 3 to 4 years, about continuing to move forward with this program.
I'm excited about where we're at. You go back and you can look at some of the things we've accomplished as a program as a whole. How important the game is with Tuscola. You know, being able to say that we've won 7 in a row. In the 7 years, we've won 3 conference championships. You know, with the varsity, we've won 4 conference championships with the JVs. Yeah. And I kind of go back and I kind of look at where things were at when I was at East, and we had some really good teams that were there too, and in an 8-year span we were able to win 4 conference championships with the varsity and 4 with the JV. So it feels like we're right on track to where I would hope we would be at. We seem to be really hitting our stride these last few years, and it comes back to so many little things. We're doing the 7-on-7 in the spring. With the little kids, we're starting to see those kids come through the program now that have played and been a part of it. And it's those little things that people don't see, and the time and the extra effort put in by, the coaches being in the community as much as we are and doing those things has certainly helped our program thrive here. And it certainly sets up nicely for the future. And, again, I think that comes back to expectations, because you're going to have teams that are going to come out of the middle schools who are going to have a lot of success, and we're going to continue that. You're going to have some teams who may not have as much success, but I'm telling you, when those kids get here, the expectations that they bring to is we're going to win. That's what they do there. We're going to win. And that mentality and coming in is huge.
Looking back at it, the 10-game schedule, do you feel like that you would like to try to pick up an 11th game going into next year? Do you think that's possible?
It is, and we actually do. We've got the 11th game picked up next year. Pickens, who we have been scrimmaging the last few years, we have them picked up after the Tuscola game. So we will go back to an 11-game schedule next year. Obviously, we got one more year in the conference. And then we'd have the realignment. So we'll, get a chance to see where we may get classified, depending on how they want to do things numbers-wise next year. And, we'll go from there. But I tell you what, our conference, just in itself, tough conference. You had 4 teams in this conference this year that could have won it.
Yeah.
But it was just such a tough league to be in. Hendersonville took everybody down to the wire almost, and could have been right there in the mix as well. JV-wise, we're starting to see that parity in the JV side of it, too. And a lot of it comes back to just the mentality of how the kids play and what the expectations are for everybody's programs, but certainly pleased with where we're at.
Absolutely. Again, brackets will be released a little bit later today. We will get those up on our website at WPTLradio.net. As soon as those are released and finalized, we'll get those up for you. Again, we'll be on the air next week, 6:30 our airtime, with a Black Bear Cafe preview, 7 o'clock game call. Again, we'll be right back here next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. For head coach Brett Chappell, this is Chad Upton. Until next week, so long, everybody.